Thank you, Ron, and good evening, everyone. It's really good to have you with us, and it's been a wonderful week here. It's been a little hot, but that's we complain about the rain, and now we complain about the heat. So
yeah, we just like to complain.
We're just the complainers, I guess, so that's the way we are. That's part of the old man in us, I guess, in that sense. So we're gonna go back to Colossians 1, and we're getting toward the end of the first chapter. I don't know where we'll get finished or not, but we're gonna go that far as our time will allow us to do that. And this is study 94 in what we have named our study wisdom. And so we're getting on toward 2 years worth of this, and looking at Jack Workman Interlinear, and looking at these last seven books that the Apostle Paul penned in the early AD 60s. And so we left off starting at, this is study 94 if I didn't say so, and tonight's date is the 26th day of May, 2021. And so we had went through 24, but I want to read 24 and 25 again in the King James Version, and then we'll pick up with 25 and go from there, because 24 and 25 kind of dovetails in together as we look. So Colossians 1, 24 and 25, it says, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church or the assembly." And that's a full stop there in 24. But it goes on to say, "Whereof," in 25, "whereof I, Paul," and it doesn't say Paul there, but the I there truly gives you the author's name, "whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God." So Paul is laying it right out before you and me here that this was what he was given. This is what the Father had put on Paul's back to do. And he surely picked a good one to do that. I don't know of anyone else, haven't read of anyone else that would have filled the bill, I don't think, to do it other than the one that God chose to do it. Amen. And so we're going to read our notes here like we always do, and then we're going to read Jack's Koine Greek out of that, and then what Jack wrote about it, and then we'll go on from there. But we're going to start with the 25th verse here. And it says, "Whereof I, Paul, am made by ordination a minister according to." And that "according" there is 2596 in the Strong's in the Greek. "To the distribution of the dispensation or the administration of God, which is given me," or we could really say "which was given to me for you to fulfill," and it's "for you," for me to fulfill or complete, "the word" or the logos of God. And then there is no, well, there is, there's a little note there in Jack's part of it that says, see Ephesians 3:11, and we'll do that when we read down through what the Koine Greek is. And the Koine Greek comes out this way on verse 25. It says, of which became I, a servant according to the administration of the God the given, to me, unto you to fill the word of the God. Now, to bring that down to the more modern English, it says, of which I became a servant according to the ministration of God given to me unto you to complete the word of God. And so we see here how it turned out, and Jack wrote this. He says, Paul became, along with being a servant of his, he's also a servant of the assembly. But he, Paul, did not serve blindly. He served according to the administration of God given to him, to the Colossians, and extended to all the Gentile believers to complete the word of God. No Holy Scripture ordained of God was given after Paul's last seven epistles. The Colossians were the perfect symbolic assembly to hear this word. For the believers today, we must know that the word of God is completed. God's plan for the ages has now been revealed. It remains for men to study and to accept his holy word. Those who rightly divide will gain in the acknowledgement of his plan, or God's plan of the ages. And it says, see Ephesians 3:11. So let's go back to Ephesians for just a minute, chapter 3. Won't be very hard to find. It's on page 1764. In Ephesians 3:11 says this, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he's talking here about the principalities and powers and heavenly places that might be known by the church. And so they certainly are. And I think they're looking with some, I don't know how you would say it, but this is something that they were not privy to, I think, begin with either. So they're looking at it, well, you know, where do we stand in all this? So this is a question that may never get answered on this side of the, on this side of death and this side of the appearing. I don't doubt it. Then, having said that, we will go on to verse 26, and we'll pick up verse 26 of Colossians 1, and it says this in 26, even the mystery. So this is the basics of our study, is the mystery truth. It's what God had laid on the Apostle Paul to tell to mankind, even in those days. But here is another almost a 2,000 year time that we're still with it and we're still in it. And a lot of times we think there's just not very many of us. But you see, we don't know that. And a lot of times, you know, we hear about people believing and seeing and understanding in other places in the world that we didn't even know that there was anybody ever there teaching this. So it's more than we realize. Even the mystery, which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. So you see what the Father laid on the Apostle Paul's shoulders was something that had been hid away and had not been known and had not been told, not even to those beings in the heavenly places. So let's look at 26. And I just read it in the King James, and let me read you my note. He said, even the mystery, the mysterion. If you want to find it, you can look in the notes in the Companion Bible, 193, and it will give you information about that. If you don't know it already, if you haven't understood that part of it, because many people know that God paid for our sins, but many people have never understood the rest of the story of what comes next. And I keep bringing up the rest of the story, but the man that came up with that, is he was a good storyteller, and I think a wonderful dude. So that makes it all more important to me. The mysterion, the sacred secret, that which or was concealed, but now can be revealed. So anything that has been concealed or hid back, if God chooses to, He can open it up. Yep. It's His. Do with it what He chooses. And it is known. When it's revealed, it can be known. But then we need to go to the instruction manual. And this is what we got before us here. This is the Word of God. Yep. That's our instruction manual. Because this which had been hid in ages past, talked about in Ephesians 3:9, from generations and from aeons, or from the beginning of the world, from the beginning of generations and ages, but now is made manifest to his saints. And so this is a lovely story. It is something that was so wonderful that God chose to keep it until the right time for man came, that it could be disclosed, and that given enough time that it could be taught to those who have the indwelling spirit within them. Because this is what, after it is known or revealed, is what can put your mind and your heart in the same aspect of the same sphere that they both can agree together. Because wisdom is flooded with man's stuff and your heart is also flooded with man's stuff. We're all born in sin and we're here in a sinful place. But this is the way that man can get to know God as being part of him. Oh my word. You're not telling me that. Yes, I am telling you that. If you hadn't seen or heard or thought about that before, you need to get hitched up. You need to get in line to do part of this bidding, because that's what was given the apostle Paul to say, that this is your vocation. This is what we're here for, folks. This is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be able to teach others. Amen. And give them this understanding as best we know it, to where they can pick it up with the Holy Spirit's guidance, that they can learn it also. This is the way it works. You're not going to go down to the corner church somewhere and pick it up. Because it ain't there. I've been there. Praise God. One day I was in the corner church when it did come. And walking through the door. And I thank God for that every day.
Amen.
I'm going to read verse 26 in the Koine. The mystery which had been hidden from ages and from generations now but was made manifest to the saints of him. There is not a lot there that gets changed. Reckon why? Because it's not needing man's input in it. It's there and it's complete. And Paul is making it more complete. Every time we read another verse, we get a little more complete in that word. Into the English, the mystery, which has been hidden from ages and from generations. You see, ages came before generations did. We don't know how far back the ages were. But we know it's been a long, long, long time. But we do know a little bit about generations. Because with mankind, it started in 4004 B.C. when God said, "Let us make man in our image." But it really started a few verses after that. And there's a lot in them first 14 or so verses that sometimes people get up in pulpits and talk about things all their life. Never come to look at that.
Amen. And won't look at it even if you point it out to them.
No. Well, listen to what Jack says. The mystery mentioned in Ephesians 3:11 had been hidden in God and from the ages. And the ages began in Genesis 1:14 with man. That was that was when things began to change. You see the ingredients for the first calendar years, months, seasons, that is what we call time. Hence, the ages began here. But what about the first 13 verses of Genesis? This is when the generations progressed through God's creation. We disavow or oppose any nefarious suggestion of evolutionary hypothesis. The mystery was hidden back even in those periods. Satan nor any other intelligent being knew of this mystery until God revealed it to Paul as evidenced in Ephesians 3:11, Colossians 1:16, and so forth. Now it is manifest, shown to the saints. So you see why we spent a whole night in Colossians 1:16, and we really just had an eye blink in that, because there was a lot more there than we normally covered, because you could spend a lot of time in there with that. So in verse 26, there's two places I want us to look at. Let's go back to Ephesians 5 for just a minute. There ain't no Ephesians 9, I'll tell you that right now. But there is an Ephesians 5.
I was about to wonder what version you were using there.
Yeah. 9 through 11. Ephesians 5, 9 through 11. It says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, full stop, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reproving or convicting them." So that was on page 1768 if you needed the page number, but I think we all know Ephesians well enough where to find that. And then let's look at Colossians 1:16 again. And folks, I tell you, it is a lot here. A lot here. Because it says, "For by him," Christ, "were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, the visible and invisible." We talked about that just a little bit. "Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers," full stop. So when he created these things, all these things were created in some form or fashion to serve the Godhead. And it says here that all things were created by him, Christ, and for him. Full stop. By him and for him. They were cut and carved out of our Lord Jesus Christ. This place was a beautiful place before sin entered it. And so you see, what God is reconciling back to himself, he's doing it through his Son, because it's part of the Son. And many people just don't understand that. But it was taken from the Son, and the Son is going to get it back. In that sense. So verse 26 tells us a lot. And then there's a lot there that we have to dig into, to look for. You know, to get this thing going. Ephesians 3:11, Colossians 1:16, Ephesians 3:9. We need to look at the first few verses of Genesis, and then look at the second part of those verses of Genesis, and we come over there and we find where Eve sees this shining one in the garden where God's put them. And so here's the test, and the test, right there, the test truly begins. Because she looks at Satan as God. And he looks at her as something that he can use. And he did. And we'll just leave it at that. Let's go on to verse 27. 27 says, to whom God, talking about his saints of 26, to whom God would make known that what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And I could stop there. But no, he give Paul more information, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
That Christ indwells man by the Holy Spirit. And that's the reason I call him my GPS. Because he's my direction. He's my GPS. He is God's perfect son. GPS. Hey, you can call it global positioning system or whatever you want to call it. But the true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ that has been given this mystery understanding can say my GPS is God's perfect son, which indwells
Amen. Me.
And you, and gives us direction, and he does the many things for us because we still have the old man in us. We're still sinners saved by grace. And we're not perfect. And God knows that. Had we been perfect, we would have already have been with Christ.
That's a good point.
We would have already been with Christ all these times. But we're not perfect until we have this new life again without any of this baggage that we carry around with us. And we can't seem to get rid of it. We can't unload our wagon, so to speak. And you might hear me say this over more times. But this is it. Okay. So 27 gives us another view of this. To whom? His saints. To whom God's word. This is what was given to his saints. The desire to make known or to unveil, if you will. What is the riches? And I don't know of anybody that don't like to talk about riches. You know, it seems like this whole world, this whole planet is instilled in getting rich or getting what you think you need or what you feel like you deserve.
It's more of the latter.
That's old man thinking there. Mm-hmm. Because the riches that you can get from the creator of the world and from the Father is riches that's beyond anything I could ever think of. Gee, that is redemption and forgiveness. Do you know any other way that being bought back and being forgiven at the same time could be done by anything that you know of other than the Son of God. A lot of people read the book of John, the Gospel of John. You know, and he says, I'm the door, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the light. I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other. He is. He is the all things. He's the glue that holds us together.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
If it wasn't, we might be floating around up in the air somewhere, not being able to stand on the ground because we wouldn't have this law of gravity. That would be a crazy thing to get up in the morning and not know where you could stand up or not. And a lot of people has got that from some way or other with the problems of this whole world. Or armies and wars and things like that. But we know that He's the glue that holds us together. So the riches is redemption and forgiveness. By the glory or the doxa of the mystery, the sacred secret, that is among or in the Gentiles, which is Christ indwelling you, within you by the Holy Spirit, leading and directing in you. And the Father named it the hope of the glory, or the hope of His glory.
That's where it all comes from.
Yes.
All the glory is
The glory was the Father's to dole out. It was the aspect of that. Okay. And there's a full stop there. And I want to read something to you there at the end of 27. But let's go to the Koine Greek. And read from Jack. Koine Greek says, to whom did the will of God to make known what the riches of the glory of the mystery, this in the nations, which is Christ among you, the hope of glory. And to bring it down to the more modern English, to whom God did will to make known. See, it's God's will to make known to man who is qualified what the riches of the glory of this mystery in the nations called Gentiles, which is Christ among you, the hope of glory. The Gentiles, folks, are favored. Don't ever forget that. We are now favored. The nation of Israel now has been set aside or divorced. And we're going to look at that verse of scripture in a minute. The nations now are receiving the teachings of the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ among you, or basically it's Christ indwelling you, and it's the hope of glory. Christ was in the midst of the Gentiles even when He was taught, as the Messiah. God in His great love and wisdom now turns to make the mystery known to the nations. But yet, Christ is still the center of it.
Amen.
Christ is the way. He is the way. There is no other way to the Father but through the Son of God.
Amen.
That is plain and simple truth. And if you can't believe that, I am sorry for you.
The world says there's a lot of ways to God. The Scripture says there's one.
He's only one way. Turn with me back to Acts 28:28. Bet you thought I'd never get there. But you see, when Paul got out of the shipwreck later on in Acts, and he was making it to Rome, and when he got to Rome, he had evidently had a house waiting for him there that the Philippians had took care of for him. And and so he was put there with chains and a keeper from the palace guard. He was chained with a chain. And he says, Paul says, for the hope of Israel, I was bound with this chain. But it changed. It changed from being the hope of Israel to the hope of all people. So we no longer have to look for a kingdom and a king. But we do have a Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the king in the kingdom is the Father and those that had Abraham's blood and can stand the judgment of God. But you see, the Son of God is the rest of the story. Because he is the head without a body. And so we're going to be a completion of Christ. And he's not going to come back to the earth again till he is complete.
Amen.
And then the body will be with him. Whatever that consists of.
A head without a body or a body without a head.
No, it doesn't work.
You can't define that as completeness no matter how hard you
no,
try.
Right. And the fact is, you know, there's no respecter of persons here. It's you see, but there's a difference between the blood. And Ronnie had a big study on that time to time, way back. And we understand that God knows where all the blood is. But some blood was promised to Abraham for children and for offspring and all this. And that's going to be his. But you see, when Christ went on the cross and he gave his blood, that was for the rest of us. Everybody. But you got to have that claim there. You have to make that sure with the one that did it for you. And that is, that penalty pays for the blood that you have to receive and accept that by believing. Not by repenting. I didn't say that. But by believing.
Amen.
You got to believe it. And that's not hard to do. But it is for some because they've got their wagon loaded up with other stuff. And I call their wagon their being. They've heard all this business down through the ages and said, well, now that can't be true because I've never heard it said that way. Well, you have now. And I'm going to tell you something. If you deny it, well, then you'll know you paid the price. No doubt about it. Acts 28:28. You know, this was a saying of Isaiah the prophet unto the fathers And we have this word for our understanding, but it's not literally to us until now. And he says this, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. Are we like that? I hope not. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. So you see, there's a way that that can change. And he says, be known therefore. This is just like a king, but this is the heavenly king now saying, be known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And I'm going to go ahead and read this other verse, and it says this, and when he had said these words, the Jews departed. Oh, man, they couldn't unload that kind of stuff out of their wagon.
Nope.
They had hung on to this law and this stuff and all these sacrifices and all these things they had to do and all this from year to year, ages to ages. They said, oh, man, one man can't do that.
The bridge too far.
One man just can't do that. But he did. He was God's man. He was God's man. And God put him in as a single cell thing in the womb of a Jewish woman called Mary. And he was born as human. He had flesh and blood. He was no longer this inherent power that he had before. He had laid all that down. And he became man's redeemer. He was man's kinsman, because now he had blood. He hadn't had no blood before this. And after he went back into heaven, and when he arose from the grave, he doesn't have any blood left. It's all been used. This is what the Father wanted the Son to do, even before they created anything. And the Son did it. And that's the reason your faith and my faith is not very good. God calls it dirty rags. We have to rely on the faith of what the Son of God did for us in order that we might have any kind of hope at all. And this hope is Christ Jesus our Lord. There's no other way to the Father but through what the Son did for us. And if that hurts, it'll just have to hurt. But if it hurts bad enough, you need to have a talk with the Lord. Because he may be waiting for an opening in your life. I've been there. I've done that. My opening in my life was coming down the road, driving an old Falcon station wagon. Coming out of Walhalla, South Carolina. And when I said yes to the Lord, it was just like that heavy load was lifted off. I was smoking a Lucky Strike cigarette. I threw it out the window and threw the pack up on the dash of the car, and I said, "That's the last one, Lord. If I'm gonna be one of your people, this is not what I'm gonna do." That was my thought, but I think that was the Spirit telling me, "You need to do away with that."
Well, if you hadn't, you may not be here speaking today.
And I haven't smoked another one for 51 years.
Yeah.
Not one. Acts 28. How much time we got left, Ronnie? I've been preaching.
9:19.
Okay, let's do 28. 28 says this. Whom we preach. And you see, good news is never a burden. Good news is always just that, good news. And this is what God allows man to do, is to preach this good news. And believe me, this is the best we can get. This is this top billing, what we got right here. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Jesus Christ. Wow. Let me read you my notes. That was the King James Version. Whom we preach or announce. Oh, warning. And that a warning is an admonishing every man or every person or every man teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That is what our job is here, that we need to do. Because I can't tell if you've been chosen by God. There may be some that have a better way of looking at it than I do, but nevertheless, I certainly can't. And I've come to realize that sometimes ones that I think will get the word, it's somebody else is sitting around hearing it and coming to a different understanding and coming to that understanding. So our direction sometimes is off. But if somebody hears and believes it, that it was not off. It was we that just didn't understand how God works. Teaching every man in all wisdom. Why do you go to college? Or why do you go to school? We send our kids to school to get wisdom, to get something more than we can tell them here. Because lots of times, even the wisdom that we have, they won't accept, because your mom and dad, and I know who you are and how you are, and it just don't seem like it's the same thing. Well, sometimes this wisdom has to come from somebody that we're not that fully associated with, or maybe have never met before. What about that? Which was my situation. So guess what? I want to go back to Acts 20. Let's see, Acts 28. Now let's read Acts 28. It said, whom we announce to admonish every man, teaching every man. What are we teaching? in all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ. And that's what it means by being perfect. If you're following Christ, the best you know how. And I've taken that from a song that the Statler brothers done. They did a song that says, I have loved you the best I know how. Well, this is what we need to do for Christ, folks. We need to do it the best we know how. And I hate to take something from the world and lay it to you in some other way, but sometimes that's what it takes for people to get an understanding. Because when you grew up in a world of sin, and there you are, lots of times you can relate to things that come like that. But this is the way it works. This is the way it works. Let's go back. Well, let's read what it says in the more English version. Whom we announce, admonishing and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ. And Jack says, Paul and his fellows do not so much as preach a system of doctrine or churchianity. They preach a person. That person is Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, the Savior, the Lord. They wish that every man to see, as Ephesians 3:9 commands, they are admonishing every man. These are already believers in the faith, the ones that need to be told the mystery truth to. So no wonder when Brother Larry came to Wolf State. It wasn't too awfully long, and a little while later, after I got saved and come to the knowledge of Christ, that he said, well, say, said, they may be anywhere from 7 to 10 here that will hear this story. And he was pretty close on the button. I wish I was that close, but I'm not. And he says, compare Ephesians 4:12. These believers will not be complete until they follow God's will in acknowledging the mystery truth. See Colossians 1, 9 and 10. Paul, Epaphras, and others will not have followed his commission until they have spoken these truths to all believers. And it says, see Acts 20:31 and 1 Corinthians 2:6 and 7, and we'll close with that. But let's go back to Acts 20 for just a minute and look at verse 31. I've got it here. Page 1635, if you got a companion Bible. Yeah, I turned one page too many. Acts 20. What did I say? Acts 20:31 says this. Therefore watch. Well, if you're watching for something, what is it you're watching for? Well, that's what you got to remember. A lot of times I go to the refrigerator to get something and I say, what am I over here for? That's old age, as far as I'm concerned.
I hope this ain't confession hour.
Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now that's the words of a man that was in the business of preaching and teaching. That was his vocation, to preach and teach the mystery of God to mankind. So he said, watch and remember. Remember these 3 years that I've told you about. And he says, warn everyone night and day. And he did it with tears. In 1 Corinthians 2. Okay, let's turn back to 1 Corinthians 2. I've got a lot of marks in Corinthians also. So we're going back to 1 Corinthians 2. If I can get these pages. On 1 Corinthians 2, 6 and 7. It's on page 1699. And Paul says this, howbeit, but we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Because there's two kinds of wisdom. There's the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God. And they don't really go together. But a lot of times we need the wisdom of the world to understand more of the wisdom of God, because he does that in examples for us. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Gee. Well, you see, Paul has been given little bits and pieces of stuff that he now realizes as we get over here in Colossians, that was given back then. And this he could say. This was between him and God. And that he understood this. Because he says in verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He didn't have to go back and change it. He didn't have to go back and change that. Didn't have to. 1 Corinthians 2, 6, 7, and 8. On page 1699. That was a load even then. But you see, God puts it in people's mouths because he put it in these prophets that he raised up. And he put it in their mouth how to speak, what to speak. And he gave Paul instructions on how to speak, what to speak. He told Paul one time, and maybe more than one time, said, when you go in before, when you get pulled in or called in before the council, he says, don't have a speech made up. Let the Holy Spirit tell you. Well, Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit when this in Acts 20 was written. He was filled with the Spirit. Well, the Spirit could have given him that. And it makes sense now. It might have not even have made sense to him then. I don't know. I got no way of knowing. But I do know this, that when he got the full measure laid upon him, he understood. It might have took him a little bit of time then, but he had been ingrained to this sort of thing. It wasn't his first rodeo, as we say, talking about things that we sometimes do or places that we get to and wonder why we're here, what we're here for. Amen. Who knows? The Father knows. He knows all things. Thank you for being with us tonight. I hope it was refreshing. It's really refreshing to me to sit here and talk about this. I could do it half a night. Because I've kind of hung loose today. I didn't get too tied up with those worldly things that I do at home. And then I had a saint to call me and talk for a while. And that puts my batteries on full charge.
Amen.
And so may God bless all of you. And realize and understand that there are others that are still in need of prayers and supplications. And remember my friend down in Georgia. She went back to the doctor Monday morning to get her treatment for breast cancer. And it wasn't good. The treatment turned up some stuff that they were kind of scared of. And so pray for Miss Elaine and that the Lord will give her grace and give her health back, if it be thy will. If it don't work in 2 weeks, if it don't clear back out, in 2 weeks, then they're going to go to another different kind of treatment. And she's not really looking forward to that. I don't know what it entails. She's not really looking forward to it. So Kenya, be in prayer for her for that. And remember them. God bless you. And she got a friend that got about the same thing for something else. And they met and had a little pity party. And I said, well, just pray to the Lord that he'll take care of it.
Amen.
And I'll certainly help. And so ask you to help me to speak a word for them to the Lord for that. God bless you.